Conclusion. How you know you're winning. Finding the truth is difficult. The quest for truth has bedeviled generations of journalists, writers, lawyers, scientists, researchers, and people of faith. We all want the truth, but what is the best way to pursue it? For the better part of 500 years, Western civilization has had an answer. The answer was to have an open conversation, letting every person speak until they're finished, discussing the quality of the information presented, and then drawing a conclusion. However, because we also understand that any conclusions we make likely rest on shaky ground, we are happy to revise it if additional information is received. In this system that has endured for more than 500 years, from the time Europeans crossed the Atlantic until we landed on the moon, to having sent probes to the farthest parts of our solar system, while billions have been lifted out of poverty and suffering, we have celebrated the individual seeker of truth. Built into the very spiritual DNA of this Renaissance is the understanding that all of us are presumed to be equal in our desire to find the truth and live according to its guidance. But that has changed, and I'd have to mark the beginning of that change as the fight over childhood vaccines starting in the early 2000s, with the assault on Dr. Andrew Wakefield, whom I have interviewed several times on my show. Consider the magnitude of the possible harm we have allowed to be inflicted upon our children. If increasing numbers of vaccines given to children during the earliest stages of life are causing harm, we have failed at one of our most basic tasks as a species. Which is why, when Robert F. Kennedy Jr. appeared on Joe Rogan's podcast for a 3-hour discussion on June 16, 2023, sparks were likely to fly. Joe asked Kennedy the question millions of people were wondering themselves, namely, why not have a debate to settle this question between Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Dr. Peter Hotez, so that we might have some sort of clarity on this issue. After all, Stephen Douglas and Abraham Lincoln debated slavery in the years before the Civil War. When Charles Darwin rushed his theory of natural selection into print because another scientist, Alfred Russel Wallace, had begun speculating in that same area, representatives of the two men held a debate at the Linnaean Society in London, England, in 1858 to settle the question. Are we incapable in 2023 of asking similarly difficult questions? According to most in the mainstream media, we are, like this article from Fortune magazine seems to claim. Put a well-known vaccine scientist, a controversial podcast host, an anti-vaccine candidate, and a couple of billionaires in the room, aka a Twitter thread, what could possibly go wrong? Over the weekend, Dr. Peter Hotez, the co-director of the Texas Children's Center for Vaccine Development, CVD, and author of the forthcoming book, Preventing the Next Pandemic, Vaccine Diplomacy in a Time of Anti-Science, tweeted a Vice article titled, Spotify has stopped even sort of trying to stem Joe Rogan's vaccine misinformation. It came after the podcast host Joe Rogan brought presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on his show to vocalize his anti-vaccine stance. Hotez called the podcast interview nonsense and shared that he received attacks on Twitter as a result. The conversation brewed a storm, to say the least, after Hotez denied an immediate offer from Rogan of $100,000 to the charity of his choice. It later swelled to more than $1.5 million from others who wanted to hear the debate, to debate RFK Jr. in real time on his show. Twitter CEO Elon Musk tweeted, "He's afraid of a public debate because he knows he's wrong." Notice how the Fortune article seeks to frame the narrative, not as a search for truth by Joe Rogan, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. or Elon Musk, but as an attempt to stem misinformation. Was Galileo guilty of presenting misinformation when he said his observations led him to conclude that the Earth revolved around the Sun? Was Rachel Carson guilty of promoting misinformation when she suggested that the pesticide DDT was causing a catastrophic collapse of bird populations in the United States and its use should be banned? Although I am hopeful that long-suppressed ideas are making their way into the public consciousness, I am fearful that dark forces may yet try to silence them. I worry that if the legal assaults on former President Trump do not have the intended effect of tarnishing him in the public's mind, that the intelligence agencies will try to kill him, possibly by sabotaging his plane. I am concerned that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. may be attacked and killed by somebody posing as a pro-vaxxer, angry about his call for greater oversight of the pharmaceutical industry. Could two prominent political figures be taken out in a single political season without outraging the public? In 1968, both Martin Luther King Jr. and U.S. Senator Robert F. Kennedy were killed, paving the way for President Richard Nixon to be elected. Let us hope that is not what God has planned for us. Maybe there are patriots in the deep state that are willing to let us try and fulfill the possibility of being a constitutional republic. Consider this remarkable article from Vox, titled, "Joe Rogan Wants a Debate on Vaccine Science. Don't Give It to Him." The article essentially argues against the principles of the Enlightenment, the Renaissance, and more than 500 years of remarkable progress for our species. Debates are a less than ideal forum for having conversations about contentious issues, especially when they're issues whose understanding is clouded with misinformation. There are several reasons for that. For starters, a debate about a scientific issue implies that there is scientific disagreement about that issue, said Rupali LeMay, a social scientist at Johns Hopkins University's Public Health School who studies vaccine communication. You're giving individuals a platform to really promote something that goes against scientific consensus, she said. I am struck by several horrendous ideas put forth by this article. The first is that debate is not well suited for conversations about contentious issues. What is the purpose of debate, then? How about the contentious idea that a person may be guilty of murder? That's why, in a criminal case, the state and the defendant are both allowed to present their very best case. Although in my civil case, I was not allowed to put on a defense. Starting to see a pattern? In an election, the public likes to see both candidates debate each other, so they can make a comparison. But, of course, Joe Biden doesn't want any debates on the Democratic side. And if Trump is the Republican nominee, probably won't want that debate either. I'm stunned by the idea I see being put forth in most mainstream articles about science, that the public should be concerned about this idea of consensus. From the real scientists I've talked to over the years, they understand the only genuine measurement is validation or confirmation of a scientist's findings. What somebody thinks does not matter in the slightest if there is information that strongly disproves that idea. But this anti-human agenda, put forth by the elites, seeks to strip away the skeptical nature of the Enlightenment, which demands proof of claims made by the powerful. In the barrage of mainstream articles that accompany the Joe Rogan, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Peter Hotez, and Elon Musk controversy, probably none better express the view of the pharma-controlled media than this one from the Houston Chronicle, titled, "Why Hotez is Right not to debate RFK Jr. You might find yourself amazed, as I was, by the remarkable mental gymnastics of this opinion writer, who is essentially arguing against differing opinions being expressed in public forums. Hotez, who has faced the wrath of the anti-vaccine movement since he began calling it out a couple decades ago, knows better. He knows that a debate with someone as unserious as RFK Jr. could have very serious consequences. Hotez has gone on Rogan's show before and offered to go on again to discuss the COVID vaccine, particularly the hundreds of thousands of deaths attributable to vaccine misinformation, but refused to turn it into the Jerry Springer show by appearing alongside RFK Jr. Critics unsurprisingly called him chicken. Several accused him of being a shill for Big Pharma. Never mind that Hotez has worked tirelessly to bypass Big Pharma, even earning a Nobel Peace Prize nomination for the low-cost, patent-free COVID vaccines he and Maria Elena Battazzi developed that have reached millions of impoverished people during the pandemic. Let me provide my take on what's being done here. Hotez is being set up as some type of Mother Teresa, immune from criticism. Are we to believe that a debate with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., with his articulate and fact-heavy presentations, is likely to resemble some Jerry Springer episode of women fighting over the question of who's your baby daddy, complete with punches and thrown chairs? Both sides would be expected to bring their A game. But, given Hotez's reticence to engage in such a debate, one suspects that Hotez has no A game. But this is a bigger question than simply whether Peter Hotez should debate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The question is whether our science can be questioned by the justice system, or whether unchecked science will be allowed to obtain ultimate control over our society. If a doctor harms a single patient in the course of treatment, he or she can expect to face a lawyer in a courtroom asking difficult questions. But a vaccine scientist, whose product might harm hundreds of thousands or even millions of people, knows he will never face an attorney asking questions because of the 1986 National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act and the subsequent expansion of Big Pharma immunity of vaccines to include adult vaccines, as decided by the Supreme Court in the case of Brucewitz v. Wyeth Laboratories, decided in 2011. The vaccine injured in our country have been patient zero of the cancer inflicting our body politic, having metastasized into comments like this by Larry Fink of the massive fund BlackRock that you have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we're forcing behaviors, in discussing how the fund was trying to force compliance to environmental and social goals, ESG. There is a war for the world, but people are fighting back, like German Member of Parliament Christine Anderson, who said recently of the World Health Organization and its plan to control the nations of the world through pandemic fear. An unelected body like the WHO, controlled and run by multi-billionaires, should never be allowed to act in place of a democratically elected government. It is you, WHO, that is the small fringe minority. You are the ones who do not have the right to dictate to the people what they want and what they don't want. So, take it from me. Take it from the millions and millions of people around the world. We will bring you down. And we will not tire until we have done just that. So brace yourselves. We are here, and the fight is on. So, let's have that fight. How else does one explain the fury with which Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz tried to shut down Robert F. Kennedy Jr. when he testified before the Weaponization of Government Committee? Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, point of order pursuant to House Rule 2, Clause 2, which Mr. Kennedy has violated above. I move that we move into executive session, because Mr. Kennedy has repeatedly made despicable, anti-Semitic, and anti-Asian comments as recently as last week. Rule 2, Clause 2 says, whenever it is asserted by a member of the committee that the evidence or testimony at a hearing may tend to defame, degrade, or incriminate any person, or it is asserted by a witness that the evidence or testimony that the witness would give at a hearing may tend to defame, degrade, or incriminate the witness, and it goes on. Mr. Kennedy, among many other things, has said, I know a lot now about bioweapons. We put out hundreds of millions of dollars into ethnically targeted microbes. The Chinese have done the same thing. In fact, COVID-19, there was an argument that it is ethnically targeted. COVID-19 attacked certain races disproportionately. The races that are most immune to COVID-19 are... But when brave individuals like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. stand up to bullies like Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, people start to take notice. Here is Kennedy pushing back against the smears of the Democrats on that committee. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Again, there was an effort to suppress information. In fact, if you read the Twitter files and the email correspondence between Facebook and the White House, there was an acknowledgement that they were being asked and they were complying with censoring information that everybody knew to be true or highly likely to be true. In fact, the term misinformation did not denote falsehood or veracity. Rather, it was a euphemism for any information that departed from government orthodoxies. It is very dangerous. The congressman a minute ago said, a million people have died because of misinformation about vaccines in this country. But in fact, our country had one of the highest vaccination rates in the world and the worst health outcomes. We have 4.2% of the global population. We have 16% of the COVID deaths. Blacks in Haiti, with a 1% vaccination rate, were dying at a rate of 15% per million population, and same in Nigeria. They had a 1.3 vaccination rate. They were dying at 1 in 14 per million population. In our country, blacks were dying at 3,000 per million population, 200 times death rates in other countries. This holds throughout the world. We needed information. We should have all been sharing information openly and talking to the 15 million doctors through the internet who were treating patients on the front line all over the world and channeling the best therapies, the most successful treatments, so that we could all figure it out. This is not a time in a pandemic to, I'll just say this one thing, trusting the experts is not a function of science. It's not a function of democracy. It's a function of religion and totalitarianism, and it does not make for a healthier population. And we are left with what I believe is the essential question of our time. Will we allow the censoring of debate, putting an end to the Enlightenment and centuries of progress, or will we stand up and say that all of us have a right to speak? It seems that the defenders of freedom are just getting started. As a recent decision from a federal court on July 4, 2023, as reported by ABC News, seems to suggest. A judge on Tuesday prohibited several federal agencies and officials of the Biden administration from working with social media companies about protected speech, a decision called a blow to censorship by one of the Republican officials whose lawsuit prompted the ruling. U.S. District Judge Terry Doughty of Louisiana granted the injunction in response to a 2022 lawsuit brought by the attorneys general in Louisiana and Missouri. Their lawsuit alleged that the federal government overstepped in its efforts to convince social media companies to address postings that could result in vaccine hesitancy during the COVID-19 pandemic or affect elections. Dowdy cited substantial evidence of a far-reaching censorship campaign. He wrote that the evidence produced thus far depicts an almost dystopian scenario. During the COVID-19 pandemic, a period best characterized by widespread doubt and uncertainty, the United States government seems to have assumed a role similar to an Orwellian Ministry of Truth. To me, the building evidence is clear. When your opponents refuse to debate you, when they try to censor you, that's proof you have what it takes to defeat them. There have been tremendous attempts to silence me with lawfare, to drive me into bankruptcy. But due to the fact that so much of what I predicted and reported on has turned out to be accurate, there has been a major resurgence of support across the political system. It hasn't been my goal to be partisan, left or right, but to bring people together to discuss the important questions of the day. For those of you who haven't seen me, because I've been banned from the large social media platforms, I want you to understand you can still find me at www.infowars.com/show or at www.band.video. We are rebuilding the broadcast and in many ways making it stronger than ever. In addition to this book, I hope you'll read my first book, The Great Reset and The War for the World, with which Kent Heckenlively also ably assisted me with some of the writing and shaping of that work. I am going to be in this fight as long as it takes. The only thing that will stop me is my death, which I hope and pray is many decades in the future. These past years have put me under enormous stress, but it has also been my honor to be the tip of the spear in the animating fight for liberty. The censorship is increasing, but we are also opening the eyes of many of our fellow citizens. As George Orwell once said, during times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. It is important for humanity to beat the censors, and I am confident we will. The new human renaissance appears bright if we take action and have faith. We will fight by using our pocketbooks, our voices, our faith in God, and what we watch and read, because the enemy takes note of all these indicators. I encourage you to watch my show, as well as those of the other truth tellers. We need to let the voices of the people be heard. Together, we can defeat this current darkness. A golden age of humanity awaits us, if only we have the courage to seize it.